reevaluate and redirect our attention and our resources.
New York City Councilmember Melissa Mark Viverito represents East Harlem, Manhattan Valley, and a portion of the Bronx. She spoke with WBAI's Jose Santiago. And that's some of the news for Monday, August 6, 2012. The news was produced in New York with Jose Santiago, Rebecca Miles, and Claytel Benjamin. I'm Andrea Sears in New York for the WBAI, listener-supported news.
Check this out. This is Chuck, your public enemy number one, the rebel without a pause, bringing the noise and fighting the power right here to the Sights and Sounds. That's right, Sights, 99.5 WBAI.
The next meeting of the WBAI local station board will take place on Wednesday, August 8th at 7 p.m. at Alwan for the Arts, 16 Beaver Street on the fourth floor. This is a critical time for the future of WBAI. Come join us for a discussion of your concerns. Take the 4 or 5 train to Bowling Green, cross Broadway to Beaver Street. Again, that's Wednesday, August 8th at 7 p.m. at Alwan for the Arts, 16 Beaver Street. See you there.
The entire Pacifica network is facing an unprecedented crisis. All the 5 stations of the network are experiencing a decline of audience and shortfalls in revenue. The WBAI Community Advisory Board will be holding the first of a series of meetings to discuss and collectively plan how to change these trends for WBAI. The first meeting will be held at WBAI Radio on Wednesday, August 15, at 120 Wall Street. At 6 p.m., we will discuss the current audience and fiscal stability of WBAI and the network. Please bring your thinking cap and a photo ID to enter the building. We all want positive solutions.
Look, down in the water.
It's a plant.
It's an animal.
It's a dinoflagellate.
Yes, it's dinoflagellates. Strange microbes with powers and abilities far beyond those of normal microbes. Dinoflagellates. The subject of Ken Gale's next episode of Ecologic. Tuesday, August 21st at 8 p.m. right here on WBAI New York. 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
On Wednesday, August 29th, starting at 6 p.m. at 120 Wall Street, the WBAI Community Advisory Board will be holding a meeting to discuss what is to be done to improve WBAI's programming and rebuild our audience. This meeting is a second in a series of dialogues to turn around WBAI from the dire possibilities of collapse. We are looking for ideas and solutions, not diatribe. Please bring your photo ID for access to the building. All are welcome.
And you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI, 99.5 FM in New York, and on the web at WBAI.org. The time now is 12:04, and yes, it is time for Night Shift.
Thank you. wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go to bed.
I suggest that you reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.
Night shift, yeah.
Somebody had a dream again?
Quero somente amar mais uma vez.
It seems amar to me você, that the overall vagueness of your memory suggests that we might clarify them a little bit by hypnosis. Would you be agreeable to that?
Hypnosis?
It's a simple process. It's sometimes very helpful in cases of psychological trauma when people have difficulty remembering what happened to them.
Todo lindo céu, junto.
It's not exactly the electric chair. I'm going to count to 10 as you're falling asleep. And when I'm finished, you'll be deeply, deeply asleep. 1, falling asleep. 2, falling asleep. 3, falling asleep. 4, falling asleep. 5, falling asleep.
Night shift.
Night shift.
Fast track to the top floor. Ambition, dream, desire. Looking for that little kick that's gonna take you high.
Night shift.
Night shift.
Always night shift. I'm not night shift. Away.
Sometime, maybe never, you'll be here with me.
It only happens here.
Night shift. For professional use. Only.
Night shift. Night shift.
You can feel it.
I'm feeling it.
It's invisible.
Night shift.
It's on the air.
Night shift.
Yes, it's true.
It's
yeah, you.
In the air.
Something night shift. Going on, but baby, what
you can
I
feel
do?
It.
Night shift.
What can
but
I
it's
do?
Invisible.
Night shift.
Yes, it's true.
Monday.
You. Something's
here.
Going on.
Night
but
shift.
Baby, what can I do?
We're live.
Night shift.
What can
is
I
like
do?
Science fiction.
Yeah, night shift.
Night shift.
It only happens once a week.
Night shift.
Night shift.
You can feel it.
Ah, yes. Night shift.
Night shift.
Night shift. Night shift.
During the shift.
Night shift.
From night to day. Are you there? Are you there finally, Chris? I don't know, something's wrong with Chris. Can't get him in here. Chris, are you there? Yeah, I guess he's not. You're always but the mystery guest is here.
Hello, Night Sometime,
maybe never, he'll be here. And we have another mystery guest.
Night Shift.
One day. Maybe one day. A little shot of pain. Pick it up till the next time that it goes wrong again. A little line of something. A little shot of pain. Pick it up till the next time that it goes wrong again. You don't know that again. You don't wanna listen. You're talking to the man. No, 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 you don't wanna listen. Talking to the man, you gotta just try. Oh, just try. A little line of something. A little line of something. A little line of something.
Here I am, I'm naked. I'm naked. I'm talking to you like you were real. Sort of hell.
Night Shift. It's my favorite show.
Fascinating. Fascinating.
Thank you.
Yes, back from
assignment. From the brink.
From the brink.
Byron, yes. Back from the brink. So, Byron, welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
It's nice to see you here, Byron. I'm glad that you have deigned us worthy of your presence.
Well, I appreciate it.
And how is your show going, Byron?
My show is going extremely well. I got hot stuff.
Now, how can we find you on Facebook to know all about your internet radio show?
Yes, just go to Byron C. Saunders.
Byron C. Saunders.
And you can go to my Facebook
page. Does the C stand for cash money?
Well, it should very soon.
Byron cash money.
I could use some. But yes, if you go to the Byron or the BCS experience, but
BCS
you go
BCS
yes,
experience. I prefer that.
The BCS experience: history, arts, culture,
with your host,
politics
with your
in
host.
Review and discussion.
Yes,
that's the entire.
I saw you have
title.
Like 937 likes or friends or whatever you have. Yes. You have many fans, Byron.
Yes. I punch out 50,000.
Byron is very powerful. Yeah, so, Chris, you're finally rolling. There. Are you there, Chris?
Yeah,
you're there. And the mystery guest, you're here. Are you with us?
Hello, everybody. Hello, Chris.
And she's been staying here in America. She hasn't gone abroad at any time recently.
Did you miss me, Chris?
Oh. No, I had a dream about you.
You're the one that tells them.
We were in Mexico. We weren't in Italy, and I kept saying we're in Mexico, and you said we're in Italy.
That's weird.
You know, listen, I don't think Chris has any other kind of dream. But I have a bunch of things I want to talk about. We do have tickets we're going to give away.
Yes.
I have tickets for Paranorman. I'm playing it in my interview of the movie. The only person here who's seen it is the other mystery guest sitting next to you.
Aha!
And what should we call you this morning? What will your name be?
That's a good question.
All right, well, we'll come back to her. She who is unnamed.
Yes.
Has actually seen Paranorman.
Yes.
And it's very good, Byron.
You enjoyed
it. Very good. I very, very much enjoyed it.
And you laughed.
I did. And I'm having a free screening
uh-oh.
Next Thursday.
Okay.
August 16th. I announced this on my show last week, but yes. I'm going to have the tickets here. They'll be here at the front desk. You can go see Paranorman. We'll talk about it more in the show. I'll also tell you that I saw The Bourne Legacy. I did tonight. I'll talk about that. It was very good.
Yes. You like that?
We'll talk about
Jeremy
that.
Jeremy Renner.
No, that's all she could
say
twice.
Jeremy Renner. And we'll talk about what's going on. I just have to say, Clint endorses Romney. How could that happen?
I don't know.
All right, but
he's drinking Kool-Aid.
Clint endorsed Romney. Yes.
Oh my God.
You know, when I saw that,
he's drinking bad Kool-Aid.
I have to think for a minute. I thought about you.
What do you think?
What's going to happen?
Well, I was just thinking how interesting it was because, I mean, Clint's your man, and then he endorses a Republican. I just thought it was fascinating.
Well, you know, my take on it. My take on it.
Yeah.
You do?
And, Mike.
You want my take on it?
Yes, your take is?
My take is that, here's my take.
To feels like times have changed.
Very profound, I think.
you're switching now.
That's my take.
It took you a while to say that.
Skip endorses Romney. Is that what's happening?
Clint endorses Romney. Mm. So what do we see next? I don't know. You know, I guess he feels that the country needs a change. I just don't see being the smart, intelligent, having been a politician himself, actor, artist. I just don't see it. I don't understand.
Clint's moved down in points with you now. Mm.
No, you got to understand something. That's sort of like saying to me now, not that it doesn't affect me differently, but you know they always say the two things you shouldn't argue about or talk about religion and politics.
Yeah.
You know, so that those are core beliefs. You know, whatever it is he believes is wrong with the country, what's ailing the country, he feels perhaps, but I mean, who knows? Maybe he's been rich too long. I don't know. So I don't know. I can't fathom it, but as time goes on, we will see.
He'll change.
I don't know that he'll change. That would be interesting.
Interesting to note.
Yes.
On the
keep in mind that our mayor
Bloomberg
was at one time a Democrat.
True.
Right.
So
then he got rich.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting to note that an individual who goes on a European tour to showcase his political prowess.
Who is this?
Romney.
Okay.
Did he go on
an international tour?
Yeah, he went on an international tour.
To show his prowess.
Yes,
a picture in Jerusalem.
Yes.
He was in Jerusalem?
Yes, now.
Of course he was.
Here's the paradox.
He's like, I'll let you do whatever you want to the Israelis.
That's right. Here's the paradox. He goes over and he insults the British.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
At least he's an American.
Well,
Americans do that.
He insults them about their preparation for the Olympics. At the time that the Olympics were getting started. Okay.
Well, he's a class act.
Yes, you know? He goes to Jerusalem. Act. Now, here's the paradox. He goes to Jerusalem, goes to the Wailing Wall, mm-hmm. which is a wall that you go for atonement and peace.
Clearly.
And then starts talking
railing.
About...
Railing. Yes, he rails at the Wailing Wall.
Yeah, so talks about Armageddon.
I understand.
He goes to Poland, and literally, why would he go to Poland?
Because to see if the jokes are true. I'd go to Poland.
I was thinking of a great thing. I'm going to endorse Romney now, and then people ask why, and I'll say because Clint Eastwood.
And so he comes back home, and they say what a wonderful trip he has.
Maybe,
now,
I'm like, I figured it out. Yes. All right, well, go ahead. I don't want to throw
so
up
what Kool-Aid are they drinking?
No, I figured it out. Because
that's not the world leader that you want.
Maybe because he feels that Romney embodies something he said once.
When?
Which
one? That's what I want to know. Now that you've gone that far. When did he say this?
A man's got to know his limitations.
Yes, of course.
No, but then again, maybe Romney doesn't know his limitations. Anyway, so we talked about Clint versus Romney.
Yes.
Clint versus Romney. I'd vote for Clint over Romney, but then you'd go like, wait a minute, but he voted for him. All right, so, there's a great documentary, and the mystery guest can attest to this. Great documentary came out this year, Byron, called Marley.
Marley.
Did you get to see that?
No, I didn't see that.
It's so good. It's so good. And it's one of those things that not only does it make you, appreciate Bob Marley. You know, I know about Bob Marley. Of course, you appreciate Bob Marley, but you really see what a force of nature he was.
Yes, he was.
He was just, I had no idea he had so much political influence. But it also reminded me of, people like John Lennon, and you realize just how, if someone who can bring such joy to people and get people's attention and be an entertainer can sway people's, perhaps like Clint, maybe people go, well, Clint's doing it, maybe there's something I don't see, so who knows, but he was really, were you blown away by the documentary?
Well, and I was a little bit skeptical, because when you don't know enough his story, he didn't show up probably clearly enough when he was alive.
Well, he was cut quite short, but yes.
And at least in Europe. I mean, he was there shortly. He was very appreciated, but what he did in Jamaica was pretty strong.
Amazing.
But you see, they blacked out his... And that's interesting. He blacked out his...
Pardon the pun.
Yeah, pardon the pun. They blacked out his importance as he was critically acclaimed in Europe.
And that is in the documentary too. Now I say all that to say that is a great documentary. I did an interview with the director Kevin MacDonald, who's done a lot of other really good films, narrative films, before he did this. But I'm giving away, Byron.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. I'm giving away 5 DVDs free. That's right, free.
Stop
all
it.
You have to do.
Yeah. The documentary is excellent.
The documentary is excellent.
Excellent.
You have to be the first 5 people to email us. Are you ready? Get computers.
I'm texting
you. Okay, let me tell you.
Email.
No texting.
No texting.
No, well, all right. Well, you know how my number? You have my number?
Oh. No, I don't believe so.
But what's interesting is that Byron said he's texting me and he reached for his watch.
Yes.
That's how cutting edge he is.
That's right.
All right, so... you just email us at lifeislikescienceficion@gmail.com. But I'm going to play a little of my interview with him as well.
All right.
And I'm probably going to do the first, the third, the fifth, so within that first 10. What, Byron? What?
Is there a theme for tonight's show?
Yes, there is.
I thought that there would be.
You ready for it?
I haven't been a while, so I have to ask now.
All right, so here's the question, Byron.
Here's the question.
We all have secrets, right?
Yes.
And here's my question to you, Byron. If you could have just that extra career, like forget everything else, just that, what's that secret career you wouldn't mind having?
Oh. Okay.
Doesn't have to be realistic because you don't have that life, that extra life. You just don't have.
I just don't have that. But if it's part of my.
What's your secret? Like secretly, nobody really knows. You, hopefully, nobody really knows. I want something, you know, juicy.
Okay.
I have it.
You got it.
She already knows she's going to tell us.
Since ever. Yes.
All right.
I always
want to. What would be funny if yours is the same? Okay. All right. You go first, Byron, and then listen, mystery guest. Go. Talk. Go. Quick. Oh, it's over. Forget it. Mystery guest?
I want you to be a spy forever.
Byron, pause. Look, mystery guest couldn't hold us. So you'd want to be a spy like the movie Salt. Did you see Salt?
No, I haven't seen Salt.
So spy versus spy.
So you want to be
Mata Hari.
Oh,
that'd be your extra life, being a spy.
I'd want to be the assassin.
That's good. At one time, I would have hearing you say that would have made me want to marry you at one time in my life. All right, so Byron.
Yes.
Just tell me your
secret. I wanted to be a tap dancer.
Stop. Beautiful.
Yes.
I love it. Is that why you wear the bow ties, Byron?
Sometimes.
Is it because like you're like
me and Sammy Davis
in front of
Jr.
the mirror? Byron's kind of shuffling.
Right.
Okay. And what about you, person who is unnamed? If you had an extra career
unnamed
like that,
girl.
You didn't.
Yeah,
unnamed girl.
Individual.
Mm-hmm.
If
you weren't going to pursue what you're going to pursue, because you're the youngest one here, so you have yet to fulfill your career.
I'm a geisha.
A geisha?
Ooh. Minus the...
Oh, see, I like how she added time travel in this. She could travel in time and have whatever career she wants at whatever point in time.
Minus
you didn't think of that part.
Selling your body for sex to the richest person.
So what was your concept of... What kind of geisha are you? Like a kung fu geisha? Kung fu dog?
Panda
touch
geisha.
Me.
Panda geisha.
Panda geisha.
I'm talking about geisha. Someone's talking about counterpart.
I have a question for the mystery guest.
What's that?
The mystery person next to me.
No,
whose side would she be on? Whose side are you on?
Yes,
are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Yes. I just want to know.
Are you working for... she's Italian. She could be working for some, you know, covert specter
right.
type. All right.
Okay.
If I say so.
Here's the question
whose
for
side?
You.
What's the question mark?
Is it true that blondes have more fun?
Yes, because she's blonde now.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just acknowledging.
I'm a natural brunette, and no. Hopefully, if I dye the rest of my hair blonde, maybe I'll have a little more fun. But
okay.
I understand. Are you at the edge of fun now, or just the roots are blonde and you're just...
No, it's quite...
It's becoming.
Dull. It's getting there, though. Maybe if I dye the rest of my hair
and
blonde.
And it's sun bleached at the moment.
No,
it looks
it's
like
peroxide bleached.
Well, it looks like it's sun bleached. You didn't have to tell me that. I would have gone with the sun bleach. What happens here stays here.
It's peroxide.
Okay,
bleach.
But it works.
Yes.
Well, Byron, you know what? It's summer.
It is summer. That's why I'm
gonna,
saying. Yeah,
you know, some people can get darker.
Yeah.
Your hair can get lighter.
Yeah.
Now, Chris, do you have a secret career?
Yes, Chris. Yeah, I want to know what that one
is. It would probably be some way connected. Believe it or not, with like the Yankees, I would like to be like a consultant or a man, so I can see all the games and be in the dugout.
I want the career though. What career would you have?
That
in
would
the
be
Yankees?
A career, like some kind of a consultant, someone
like
who
a,
I could be
a water boy.
At all the Yankee games.
Would you be?
I would love that. I would just love.
You want a supervisory position or like water boy?
Yeah, not water boy. Bat boy. No, I just
the bat
that
boy.
Be,
yeah,
you know, there are guys that are involved.
Yo, Bobby, pick out a winner for me.
So you want to be one of those guys on the inside track, but that's not really a career though.
That's a career.
What is the career? Tell me what you do.
That's the career. That's like the inside track.
Yeah.
The inside track guy.
As Mickey Mantle would come up to the plate.
One of those vague, defined careers.
He would turn to Chris and say, yo, Chris, pick out a winner for
games.
Yeah. Okay. I can see it.
I got to tell you that I was watching this movie called The Last Hard Man.
Yeah.
Is this a porno thing? You're...
No,
what are you watching?
Stop it.
No, I'm serious, and I thought it was a porno thing, but actually,
and so that's why you turned it on? That's really embarrassing. All right, so you and is it an action film, I hope?
It's Jerry Goldsmith did the music.
Stop. Get out of here.
An unknown.
Sure, it's called Three Hard Men.
No, it's called The Last Hard Man with Charlton Heston, James Coburn, and Barbara Hershey, 1976.
Barbara Hershey,
really?
Favorites.
How was the score?
The score is incredible. That's what I'm saying. I started watching the film, The Last Hard Man, because I thought it was The Last Hard Man.
Porto.
I was like, Porto. I understand. James Coburn did it.
Okay. You're like, why?
Last Hard Man.
Exactly.
That's the kind of world we live in.
Exactly.
But anyway, I start watching the film. And the score's great. I go look it up.
Wow. And it hasn't been released. Last Hard Man. I feel like, are you sure it's called The Last Hard Man? Are you looking,
I'm looking at Last Hard Man. It's on, it's on the table right now. I looked it up on the internet even.
There
Last Hard Man, would it be an alternative title?
Well, that's actually very interesting. Well, so that's your secret career, to be close?
The Last Hard Man. That's the,
you want to be the last.
No, what's the thing is to go work with the like,
as, you know. Turned into a science fiction concept. Yes, he is. He's laughing at you.
The Last Hard Man.
Yes, okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, music by Jerry Goldsmith, 20th Century Fox, 98 minutes.
What year?
Think of that, Mike?
What year?
1976.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'll turn you on something you didn't even know. Once again, Chris has pulled it out.
All right, so you can write us at Life is Like Science Fiction. Put Marley in the heading. Life is Like Science Fiction at gmail.com.
Yeah.
Put Marley in the heading. I will pick five winners. Put your address. Don't just say, I want it. You know, and that's, I get emails like,
I want to be intelligent.
They don't say, yeah, please. Yes. Put your name, address, and everything.
Okay.
And every contact so I can get back to you and let you know if you have won a DVD.
And oh, the Last Hard Man. I said man.
All right, but any last thoughts there you wanted to say, Mr. Guest, about the Marley documentary before I play the interview?
Well, I cried many times.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
She's always crying. Any movie that, well, that she watches, she tells me I cry.
I ask for those kind of movies, as you know.
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
She comes over. Do you ever think I could cry?
I could cry for
today.
Yeah,
I could cry.
Either I cried or I laughed.
Don't cry for me.
We went to this comedy together, and,
y'all
and I cried.
She cried. She cried.
I cried at a comedy.
She cried at a comedy.
You cried, Mr. Pop.
As a matter of fact, I have to put together a whole bunch of movies for her to cry. I'll call it my own wailing wall.
Hello.
The Mystery Guest Wailing Wall.
Jamaica.
No,
you know
yeah.
What that means? She's very sensitive.
No, I was very touched by his death. No, when he was found.
Oh, you know, but that's the other thing. As you're watching the documentary, it's almost like what. And I said this as a director. I'm only playing a small excerpt from the interview, but it's almost like watching the Titanic.
Because you know what's
going to happen. Yes. And I really didn't know exactly how he died. Did you?
No. This level, I didn't know many things. I'm not going to say.
Say. You really need to see it. It's
because,
ironic.
No, people have to see this documentary. So yes. Get this DVD, absolutely.
Yeah, and one of the things, I'll let you hear the interview. Because that really, he really is a really good director and he really speaks.
Yeah.
Interestingly, and then I will. Byron, did you bring any of your rap lyrics? You have rap lyrics?
I've got old school rap.
Just so you know, we'll be rapping. And what's the phone number here?
212-209-2900.
So you can call in with your secret.
That's right.
Careers.
My rap is so old.
Your rap is so old.
People will not. This will be like. Oh no, he didn't.
Oh well, Byron, you don't know what I have in store for you.
Okay. I mean, and you know, you're going to accuse me of not being, of not making it rap, but it is.
No, Byron.
Old school rap.
Listen,
I'm telling
Byron,
you now,
Byron,
it's rap.
Trust me.
Yes.
You will be rapping.
I will be rapping.
I don't know. Every time I plant a seed, he said kill it before it grows. He said kill them before they grow.
Welcome to listener-sponsored radio, WBA, and I'm here with Kevin McDonald, who's the director of the new film, Marley. Kevin?
Hi. WBA. How are you?
Looking at your body of work, because you've done a number of documentaries, you've done narrative films, you've done TV. When did you first know you wanted to be a storyteller?
I think I always knew I wanted to be a storyteller, but I thought I'd be a writer. I thought I'd be a journalist, in fact. And I tried, when I left college, I tried to get a job in journalism, and it was a really bad time jobs-wise in Britain at the time, in the early 90s, and I couldn't get a job anywhere, and I ended up, you know, doing little bits and pieces, making ends meet, and at the same time, I got a little video camera, and I started making little documentaries on the video camera just for fun, and one of those got seen by somebody at the BBC, the British Broadcasting Company, and they asked me to do a little 5-minute piece, and one thing led to another, and I started making films.
What makes a good story, and what makes a story worth telling?
I think it's very hard, obviously, to generalize about that, but I think for me, and it's always got to be personal, isn't it? Because some of us find a story compelling, and other people think that's kind of really dull, but it has to have some quality that resonates with me, you know, in a deep way. And I think that often when you're making a documentary, what you want to do is to get behind the surface of something, scratch away at what seems to be a well-known subject, but actually to find what's going on behind the surface. And that's what we did with this documentary I just made on Bob Marley. You know, everyone knows Bob Marley. Everyone's seen the T-shirts, got the poster. We hear the music everywhere around us. You can't avoid Bob Marley's music. But, you know, what's behind that? Who was the human being? What was the flesh and blood behind that? And that was what drove me. That's what interested me in making this film.
Well, there are a number of things about it I thought that really, really worked for me. And prior to seeing it, I'd read some criticisms that said, you know, it was, you know, too reverential, mm-hmm. it was too straightforward. Mm-hmm. And I thought, actually, those are the things that made it really work for me. Mm-hmm. I felt that by telling the story in a linear way, mm-hmm. following his rise, you know, mm-hmm. there's somewhere midway through the film, mm-hmm. you start going, wow, like, you kind of know how this is going to end, and you wish that it wouldn't. Mm. And so I'm curious to you, in deciding on how you're going to do the narrative, mm-hmm. what made you to do it straightforward as opposed to something more fractured?
Well, it just felt to me like this is such a complicated story, and I didn't want to make it even more complicated by fracturing the narrative, by messing around with time, by being too stylistically adventurous, I suppose, or experimental. It is probably the most conventional film formally that I've ever made. But that felt like a more classical approach would suit this subject. Apart from anything else, because to understand Bob, you need to understand an awful lot of other things that we, you know, in America or in Europe, we're not necessarily that familiar with. You know, things about Jamaican culture. You need to understand what is Rastafari, and that takes this. That's quite complicated. You need to understand about Jamaican politics at the time. You need to understand about, you know, the development of Jamaican music. And so you need to be explaining things. And to me, in order to do that, I thought, let's just take a simple, simple approach. And also, there is, in the narrative of a man's life, in the story of a man's life, there is a kind of natural flow. And also, in the case of Bob, you know he's going to die young. And so there's a tension that's created by
exactly.
slowly building up towards that. So it's the storytelling at its simplest, but simplest can also be the most effective.
Well, I agree 100%. As a matter of fact, I thought it was a little subversive to tell it in the way you did, because you end up getting caught up in all the context, because hearing any fact about Bob Marley's life out of context would never have the power, as, like you said, understanding the politics, the nature of his heritage, all those things that, you know, no one had any idea about. So my question to you is, in doing this, A, how much did you know about Bob Marley going in? And B, what were some of the things that resonated most with you finding out about him?
Well, I was a kind of a fan, like everybody else is a fan of Marley. You know, I had some of his records. I might be one of the first records I ever bought. Actually, I think one of the third or fourth album I ever bought was Uprising. I was like 13 years old, growing up in the Scottish countryside, and this music seems so exotic and kind of vaguely rebellious, but also mysterious, because mm-hmm. there's all these references to Haile Selassie and Jah, and you think, what is this? I didn't know what any of that was, but it made it all the more attractive
sure.
because there was the mystery about it. And then, you know, I listened to Bob, but I wasn't the world's biggest fan. But then I went and made The Last King of Scotland, a film in Uganda with Forrest Whitaker, and I went into the slum areas of Kampala, the capital, and was amazed to see dreads there, and amazed to see murals of Bob's face and his lyrics up on the wall and that kind of thing, and realized that this man's influence, you know, at that time, 25 years after he died, this man's influence was still totally alive, and halfway around the world. And in a way that no other musician has achieved. You know, it's not just, oh, I like his songs, I like his tunes, or, you know, like Michael Jackson, you know, people like him around the world because he's kind of like, he was a rich, rich guy, and people were fascinated by him. It was, people were fascinated by Bob, and still are fascinated by Bob around the world because of what he said. And some people even sort of follow him almost like he was a prophet, or he was certainly a philosopher. And there's no other musician who's had that kind of legacy. And that really interested me. And then I started to look into it, and I realized that all around the world, that's the same. You know, you go to Brazil, you go to Tibet, you go to India, you go to Indonesia. There are people who love Bob Marley and who kind of live their lives almost through his songs. That's extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. As a matter of fact, there were so many things that, you know, and I read a couple books of Bob Marley that I didn't know, that I didn't really get.
Well, I think that, you know, there's a lot of new material in this film, even for people who think they know a bit about Bob Marley. I discovered a lot. Even Bob's family discovered a lot, and that's been the most gratifying thing about making the film, is that, you know, I've shown it to several of Bob's children. They've had a very emotional experience watching the film, and they've come out and said to me, you know, I learned a lot about my father. I didn't know all this stuff. And Ziggy Marley said to me just the other day, he said, you know, this is the movie I'm going to show to my kids when they're older, to show them who their grandfather was, because this is the man.
Well, I definitely thought you gave I didn't find it too reverential. I thought you presented him who he was.
I don't think
was.
It's reverential at all, but I think the truth is, you see, that Bob is, yeah, he's presented warts and all. The negative sides of him are there. Everybody talks about him in a very frank way, actually. I think that maybe people feel like, because Ziggy Marley, Bob's son, is an executive producer on the film, they feel like, oh, it's going to be a kind of airbrush celebrity portrait, but it really isn't. And in fact, I should say that nobody from the family and nobody from the producer and nobody ever pressured me to try and change the movie, not to do what I wanted to do. I was left completely alone to make the movie, because I think they wanted an honest portrait of Bob, or a rounded portrait. So there are moments in the film which are very uncomfortable in some ways, where, you know, Bob's daughter talking very critically about her father, where Rita Marley, Bob's wife, is talking about how difficult it was dealing with his repeated infidelities, his constant infidelities, and how she herself had to go and get girls out of Bob's dressing room, you know, that kind of story. It's very far from being a reverential film, but I think that what it is that it's a positive movie. It's saying that Bob is a heroic figure, because I believe he was a heroic figure, and I think he's a totally positive artist.
And like I said, if you want to win a copy of this documentary, which is just out now on DVD, which is really, it's just amazing. I have to say, Byron, it's amazing. I should loan you my copy so that you
But could. Was this show in the movie theaters?
Yes, it was in the theaters earlier this year. That's when I did this, like in February.
Yeah, back February.
I did the interview, and it was either January or February, and that's what this interview. Chris, did you listen?
Yeah.
It's really fascinating. I highly recommend it. I think it's about to come on cable as well, so you can watch it there. So, Bob Marley.
Yeah.
And music, secret careers. Now, let's see if anybody wants to call. 212.
Wait, Mike, you didn't give your secret career.
My secret career? I have so many. I have so many. Do I have to give it? I want to get some from outside first.
You have to give us one, man, because I know it's got to be hilarious.
No, because I want to be a plumber. Yes.
Yeah.
212-209-2900.
Byron, didn't Mike say he wanted to be a plumber? That was his hidden thing? Something like that, a plumber?
A plumber.
Listen to Chris.
Mike, I think you'd be a great plumber, Mike.
Mike the plumber. It's got a ring to it.
You know. Let me fix your pipes. They play some music
right.
for you. While
you and Mario Brothers, exactly. Mike the Plumber.
Yeah, Mike the Plumber. There it is. That's right. A great idea.
Super Mike too. Right.
Mike the Plumber.
Super Mario Brothers.
You know, and he'll show up wearing his wild outfits he has. You know, those stocky outfits or whatever you call those things.
Those are all retired now. I don't wear wild.
You don't wear those anymore.
I'm retired.
But it'll be cool because, like, all your customers will always remember if he plays really good music while he works.
While he works doing what?
Pipes.
It fixes your pipes, exactly.
Mike, what? You are I don't know if people know this, but you are the
Featured producer of the month.
Featured producer of the month.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Mike Sargent. Yes.
Well, in the newsletter.
In the newsletter. He is the featured producer of the month.
Wow.
Congratulations, Mike Sargent.
Thank you.
You are my mentor.
I missed a what? No, they've run through everybody else. Right. You know.
That's great. Congratulations.
Yes. Well, thank you.
So, see.
There it is.
I posted it on Facebook for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I haven't seen Facebook. I'll have to look. I haven't been to Facebook in a week.
My hero.
So, I have now, Byron. You know that. First of all, I have some stories for you. There are some interesting stories.
Yes.
I want to set the tone here with some of the stories we're going to hear. Maybe you want to go with one of yours, Mr. Saunders, first?
Certainly. All right.
Wait. Let's get people calling. Hold on.
212-209.
Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Yes. Hi. Good day.
How are you? Do you have a secret career that you would have and nobody really knows? Like you want to wear a tutu or something?
No, I'm calling in regards to...
Bob Marley?
Yes. What the documentary. Do you have any way? Give it away?
I am, but you have to email me. You have to email me at lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com.
All right, I'll do just that.
Do that, good do time. That. And I, all right, thank you. I just put in there, yes.
You said,
Life, all one word, life is like science fiction. Put Marley in the thing, and you could be one of five winners. Let's pick five at random. So, but don't forget to put your address and contact information. Don't be like, I want it. Okay. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's Cardinelli. How are you?
Cardinelli. What's up?
Man. Listen, I'm on the TW Bridge. It's a mess up here.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Fixing that stuff one lane at a time.
Do you have...
crazy. I mean, I don't know what they think we're paying taxes for, but this is ridiculous.
I understand. Now, do you have a secret career? Yeah.
I'm sorry? Yeah, I have a career as a musician. I'm going to use that as my hobby, okay?
Sounds like
so that's not, doesn't sound like a secret. Musician. You're already deep in it. I'm talking about something you haven't pursued at all.
Well, what we're going to do here is I need a couple of your T-shirts from the BAI organization. So I can play my drums with your T-shirts on. I need 1X T-shirts, okay?
1X T-shirts.
Yeah. Either that or, you got to call every week and get the traffic report. How about could be our official traffic report guy
from the George Washington
Bridge right now.
And how long have you been listening to the show?
I've been with this show, I've been with Bob Pass since 1966.
All right, well, that's before we were on here.
Of course it is.
So, okay.
We used to listen to Phil Oakes on this radio station all the time. And,
I understand.
Let me see, we used to listen to Patrick Sky, Tom Paxton.
And how old are you, sir?
Jim Buckley.
How old are you?
I'm 61 now.
Oh, you're a young man.
You're still a young man.
Here's the story. I want to go back to listen to some music, so I'm going to ask you guys again to send me a couple of T-shirts with the BAI logo on it. And my phone number is 201-576-0007.
I wouldn't really do that on the air, sir.
It's already on the air. So I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Thank you.
Did you write that down, Byron?
Yes.
Hello, you're on the air.
You know, I write everything down.
Hello, Byron. Yes. Hello.
Can I turn my radio down?
Yes,
that would be good.
We'd like to congratulations.
Thank you. For what?
Hello?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
For what?
Producer of the month.
Oh, producer, thank you.
Congratulations.
I wish that you got, they don't buy you like a donut or anything. Yeah. So,
I'm the only one with that contract.
You get the bow ties.
The bow ties.
So, sir, do you have a secret? Do you have a secret career that you always wanted to have that you maybe never talked about?
Undertaker.
Really? Now, why? Do you like working with the dead?
No, that's the last days of, coming in, going out.
Coming in, well, I don't know, how's the Undertaker involved with the coming in?
When you're born.
Maybe he's also
you go back to the
Undertaker, and what do they call those,
he's like a, back again.
What do they call those things? Not a pallbearer.
Right.
You know, the help women give birth. What do they call those?
You want to be a pallbearer?
Yeah, he's a,
give birth.
It's mostly women. What do they call
that's
them?
It's called an obstetrician.
No.
Old school.
Old school.
What do they call it?
Mother. Birth mother.
But no, not birth mother. It's a fool.
Granny.
No.
Granny.
Granny.
No, no.
Yeah, it was some weird
you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Earth Mother.
Earth Mother. Yes.
I had my Bob Marley t-shirt on the day I shot the show when you was playing the music.
Really? On the day he was midwife. Shot, you were wearing it?
That's why I had to call.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
Midwife.
Oh,
midwife. Yes. You can be a midwife and an undertaker. There it is.
Midwife.
He could be the midwife.
That way you can get him coming in and going out.
Yes. Or a mortician.
Well, a mortician, you know. It's an artist.
Mortician.
An artist who doesn't really like to talk to people.
Back when they used to mummify people in Egypt.
Back when they used to mummify people. Was that like a period of time?
That's pretty cool, man.
The mummification period. When everybody was mummified.
You know, because it was like a technique. And
they didn't mummify slaves, you know.
Psycho.
Yes, they did.
They mummified slaves? Yes. Oh, the few that got buried with them.
Yeah, well,
I don't mean those. I'm talking about in general. They weren't like, everybody gets mummified. Come on now. Come down to the mummy shop.
Egyptian.
Hello, you're on, hello, you're
good,
on the air.
Mummified shop in Brooklyn.
Exactly. Hello, yes.
Hello, is that me?
Yes, it's you.
It's you, indeed.
Okay, secret. I mean, I guess I always wanted to be a track star or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Track star.
Yeah.
I can relate to that.
I just want to say one other thing. You know, I saw the Bob Marley movie, and it was really great.
I told you. It was really, really good.
Who did the movie, who you interviewed,
yes.
When he spoke of Michael Jackson, he didn't have a clue. He has no idea who Michael Jackson is.
No, I let that go. But he's right. But I'll tell you what he is right about, and I've seen this in documentaries. There are definitely cultures where they don't know anything about Michael Jackson.
That's
they
right.
just know his music, and they know he was rich, and they knew he was eccentric.
Yeah,
and so they no, but what he's saying, what he's saying, yeah, but what he's saying, why he was very dismissive of Michael Jackson. I agree.
Okay, thank you.
But okay, but what I think what he was saying is that Bob was always known for what he was saying, as opposed to just his music or his lifestyle. So
he was very political.
Yes, he was. Hello, you're in the air.
Rasta.
On the air. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Listen, they call that a midwife if you never listened to that.
Now, we already caught that, sir.
You already said that?
Yes, we said that.
How's the traffic? Where are you now?
I'm on the GW Bridge right now. I feel like I'm having a baby. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know how the two come together.
Yes,
all right, Byron, you have a story?
Yes. Now,
Mike, if you have a question, ask him now. He'll call back in 5 minutes.
This story is Greenland enters melt mode.
Melt mode.
Yes, island-wide thaw is one for the record books. I mean, we're talking about the size of Massachusetts.
An island-wide
that's melting.
Thaw.
Yes, I've read this story. I know this story.
Yeah, go ahead.
And a massive chunk of ice center broke off the Petermann Glacier.
Yep.
In northwest Greenland on July the 16th, possibly because of soaring temperatures in the region.
Possibly. Oh, what else would cause a major mass of land?
Now, I find this interesting.
That's frozen.
That's right.
To break off.
Interesting that NASA. NASA.
Yeah.
Made, told this story,
yes.
Which I'm going to come back to in a second.
Okay, go ahead.
Greenland's ice is on the hot seat again. A heat wave, possibly the biggest in a century, washed over the frozen island in mid-July. Around 97% of the surface ice melted temporarily. Slush even appeared at Greenland's highest, coldest spot. The massive ice
cap... What did they call the highest, coldest spot?
The highest,
coldest spot.
Yes. It's a spot that's very cold. The massive ice cap also darkened...
I was going to say, but I won't say.
Yes, it was something joke-wise there.
WT Mountain.
Yes. The massive ice cap also darkened a lot this year, so it absorbs more of the sun's energy and melts still faster. Overall, more of Greenland's ice melted in June and July than in any previous year during the satellite era, says Marco Tedesco
during
of the
satellite,
the satellite era.
When did the satellite era begin?
When Sputnik went up.
That's 59?
Yeah.
Sputnik
was somebody else. Soviet Union like Sputnik. Okay.
That's the Russian pronunciation.
Yes, the cryosphere discussion.
Sputnik.
Tedesco.
That's like the Sean Connery as a Russian guy. Yeah, Sputnik.
Yes, Sputnik.
Sputnik went up.
Now, you know, I mean, this story goes on, yes. And it is amazing.
I know it goes on, man. It's but it's,
but here's the story that I think the part that got me. Okay. And this is where it becomes Life is Like Science Fiction.
Yes.
I think I even posted this for you, Mike.
Okay.
The solar flare that happened a week and a half ago.
Yes.
Happened on a Thursday. By Saturday morning, a day and a half later, that flare made it all the way to Earth, and the impact, as only that NASA could show us, the only thing they could tell us, which I find rather interesting, is that the phenomena of something that's moving that fast, that hits planet Earth, they can only talk about the Aurora Borealis.
Right.
Now, Chris,
I know,
Mike, okay,
yeah.
Anything that happens on the sun, which is how many millions of miles away, and gets to planet Earth in a day and a half, needs to be talked about more than they talk about discovering the God particle.
Now, let me ask you
this.
But
have you ever been to you ever had an X-ray?
Well, yes, of course.
All right, if you were outside on Saturday, you had a couple
You had a serious X-ray. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. That's
you weren't wearing your aluminum hat.
Yes.
X-ray,
and you got zapped very well.
Zapped, not even know. What are they going to do? Tell everybody we're
exactly. That's right. What I'm saying. What are they going to say?
And then here's the part that really gets me is what? That, of course, the Republicans do not believe that global warming is ever real. And yet, anything that happens that fast and then melts instantly. Greenland into slush, which it did, as Chris has said, it did turn back into ice. But the reality is this, it melted.
Yeah, well, that's like the sun blinked, right?
Yeah, it's the sun blinked.
And then what if it blinks again?
Hello?
What if it blinks like four times in a row?
Yeah. It's all the ATMs
up. Yes.
What else will fall off?
Do you think there's enough UV coming in?
I don't know.
Listen, man, you better wear some good sunglasses.
But then again, what are they going to say? What are they going to say? Brian, what are they going to say?
Well, all I know is that they didn't tell us everything.
They're not telling
when
us everything.
When do they?
And then they tell us anything.
When do they?
Except that it was a pretty light show. And I'm thinking...
It was very pretty.
Hello.
It was very pretty.
And I saw the picture, and it really was.
It was very pretty.
The picture was... The entire planet
stays up
pretty much an aurora borealis. Okay.
Listen, you got to enjoy life, man, every moment, because
right.
I'm telling you.
Yes.
You know, we there's so many things coming down on us now that I don't really. I just try to have fun and treat people good, and that's all we
there
count.
There you go. That's right.
You
so
know,
we're
like
live
firing,
streaming.
Like love everybody. You know.
That's right. You got to.
You know, it's true,
everybody.
Man. All this stuff is coming down, and you can't tell everybody how bad things are.
Right.
I still think an asteroid just come hit us any minute. You know.
Now, the thing that I'm waiting for next, Chris, is that since the Curiosity has landed.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it. Can I tell you something?
Yes.
I watched it last night. I got up at 1 o'clock.
At 1:30, yes, when it landed.
I started watching it. I got to admit, man, this is the most boring thing I've ever experienced in my life, but it was excitingly boring because it was like, you know, they take a picture, right? They say it's landed, here's a picture, and it's a picture of a wheel.
Right.
And it's down, it's all dirty looking, and it's here's a shot, this is what we got. It was landed, it's a picture of a wheel.
I'm just waiting for the little Martian who comes over and flashes a card in front of the camera and says, we'll be back after this commercial break.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I understand those people are so exciting, but even when they try to explain it.
It becomes
like, they go,
so, yes.
And now we have this great shot we're going to show you, and they show you a picture, and it's like, yeah, okay.
And you're looking at the rock. You're looking at dust for 30
looking
minutes.
At dust, and then they're like, we'll have more in another 5 hours.
Yeah, we'll be back shortly.
You know, and the people that talk about it, these scientists, they're
very excited.
I'm not saying anything wrong. I watched, I believe in Star Trek. I believe, like, I'm so happy that we're doing things. The presentation of it is boring.
But anyway, the Greenland story is very interesting. And the fact that it is indeed, has melted, and it has increased the size of the oceans. Waves and it's
the
increase
the size of the ocean's waves.
Now,
I was talking about this tonight. This planet is really a
you
lot
know,
of areas on this planet.
I just, all I can say. All right, now you have a story too. There, she who is unnamed. You have a relating story.
No, not relating. But the one I wanted to talk about was the one. The title's called Rabies Resistance Arises.
Now, tell me this is not fascinating, Byron, as Spock would say. All right, go ahead.
Rabies Resistance.
This is, now, let me just preface this to say, we're still evolving.
Yes, of course.
Thank you. The title is Rabies Resistance Arises in Backwater Thick with Vampire Bats. Basically, residents of two Peruvian communities survive the infection of rabies. And for some reason, people in the Amazon are immune to rabies because when they're bitten by the vampire bat, it gives them a weaker dose of the virus.
There you go.
It's sort of like a vaccination.
They've sort of been vaccinated against rabies.
Which is the very essence of the flu vaccination. They give you the flu so that you can, your immune system can then adapt.
That's how the whole flu and cold industry was created.
Yes, of course.
Because they can give you low-level diseases they can treat you for and make billions of dollars for the rest of your life. For the rest of, you know,
and the bats have
humanities.
Been doing this for...
But go ahead.
I mean, it does say that several nearby communities have had outbreaks. But, and the doctor said that they don't think that the people are protected. I mean, they still have to get treatment, but the fact that rabies used to be one of the most dangerous diseases. You know, if you got bit by
a dog
or a raccoon. I hate raccoons. I have a phobia. They're nasty.
So you don't like Rocky Raccoon?
No, I don't like any type of raccoon except for Pompoko.
Okay,
Mike, you're playing my music right in the background. That's amazing.
This is Chris.
No, I'm serious. That's like, what is that? That's so familiar to me. What is it? I have that.
I'm not gonna tell you. If you don't remember
what this is, I don't even have to say.
No, what's wrong with me? I've been having a senior moment.
It's Enigma.
That's right, Enigma. I'm sorry.
So you wouldn't go coon hunting in Tennessee?
Nope.
Coon hunting.
Yeah, coon
hunting.
That's
Mike's secret job.
Yes,
coon
hunting. No. That's like saying, hey, let's go die now.
Listen,
no,
as I was saying, this planet is supposed to be like a big rainforest.
Yes, it's supposed
to be. You know what I mean? That's
supposed to be. Supposed to be. That's Eden. And we are destroying all of that.
We're destroying all the trees and stuff.
Of course.
So my proposal is that we just all die and leave the planet and let it be all come green again. And then we can start over.
Yeah, like in Planet of the Apes.
It wouldn't be a bad idea. I wouldn't mind living in that. I think it's
in that post, like the post, they freeze you,
know,
you wake
I'll
you up to a thousand
if
years
weren't
from
anybody
now.
Left
with all trees and greens, there's no problem. As long as
what
the
about all the
good?
There'd be insects that'd be the size of like your leg because
yes,
they've had nothing to
like,
kill them.
As long as they don't bite me,
I think they would. They could drink you in one.
Yeah,
be like a snack. Giant mosquitosaurus.
No, actually,
can't we just all get along?
There was evolution. Evolution made insects smaller.
Well, now you see, evolution. It's interesting about evolution, and with how little
we
really understand.
Darwin,
I know.
Really, we know about evolution.
Very little. Mr. Guess, you have a story too, don't you?
Yes, I have. It's about the heat, the warming.
Because according to evolution, everything would be progressing to become better, and I haven't seen anything like that. Means
well, it's better for who? Better for the planet? If we die out,
that means mosquitoes would go extinct.
Go ahead.
They can't evolve past being a frog, and they'll still sit in the water if it gets hot.
Yes, you can't help it.
Okay.
Hey, Wood. You know
Chris, can I read my story, please? Okay, he's in his element, right?
Yes, he's
in okay.
It's late at night.
I'm talking about my own.
I'm talking
about...
Okay. Now, it's important here because it's about the extreme hot spells rising. Temperature records reveal inexorable warming and increasing episodes of extreme heat. So it's not your imagination. Not only are extremely hot temperatures occurring more frequently across the globe, but those heat waves are getting more severe.
Solar flares.
Oh, yeah. And it's been hot. It's been hot. Every show I've been to this summer, it's been hot.
It was 115 degrees.
Well, in Italy, are very miserable.
It was 115 degrees in Oklahoma.
No. I don't know about the rest of U.S., but Italy never experienced such heat.
The fires are going to go through the roof.
Now the Alps are melting in Italy.
Right. You know, it's they're melting. There are those waves from Africa coming once in a while.
And what's the here's the science fiction part about all this? We're just casually talking. Oh yes, no, it's melting. Oh go Greenland split in half. Oh, but it froze back. You know, and we're just casually talking about all these catastrophic things. This is the future. Life is
right, but honestly,
like science
Mike,
fiction.
At a certain point now, you know what? As we're talking about it, what the hell can we do about it?
But anyway, studies.
We can't do anything anymore.
I'll tell you what the study, scientific study, is suggests that a new level of extreme heat is emerging that almost never occurred 50 years ago, formerly striking
that
about
new level of heat.
Yeah. Formerly striking about 0.2% of the northern hemisphere in any given summer, this degree of anomalous warmth now strikes about 10% of the land area. Within a decade, this data suggests these hot spells could reach 16.7% of the hemisphere's summer weather. So this is serious.
Solar flaring. Telling.
Now, what do you think about what we've done to the planet and what we're leaving to your generation?
Well, we're emptying all of the resources.
No, I'm asking
for this
young person. What do you feel?
The generation.
What do you feel about what
I feel
the generations preceded you have done to the planet?
I feel like the generation, the last generation that's raised us, sort of, in a way, put a burden on us that we have to fix everything. And then if you do something belligerent, in a sense, like, you know, all these reality shows are coming out. It's not, I don't know. I feel like this is the time we live in where being on TV is more important than actual substance. And
so you're saying we have a lot of distractions. Yeah, and I guess, you know, as the world gets worse, we have more distractions. We have texting and video texting.
I'm not done yet.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. At least
somebody.
I feel the same way.
So, because we have all of these, what you call distractions, I guess sometimes it keeps us in the way of our main goal, which is our main purpose in life. And I guess everyone's purpose in life has to do with help with fixing the world, and that can be anything. A plumber can fix anything.
Mike can fix anything. Like
yes, exactly, and I like to write, so I would use my writing to hopefully improve the world in some way. I feel like any talent that we're born with, it's supposed to make the world better and try to improve it. But in a way, life always gives distractions to test us, and this generation, in a lot of ways, has failed the test. But I feel like we also know what our limitations are. And what we're supposed to do and not what we're not supposed to do. The question is whether we really care or not, whether we really care enough to actually make the world better, because we all know what the problem is with all the social networking. How can you not know, in a sense? That's my opinion.
Well, there it is.
Okay. From the mouths.
We've heard from the future, Bert.
That's right. The future has spoken. Now, there's some people who are just ignorant. Okay, just
totally ignorant,
right? And stupid. Okay,
you're not talking about Clinton.
Nah. I'm talking about some of those other peoples who are walking around. They ignorant, stupid. Okay,
with some
quislings.
Yeah.
Quislings.
Yeah, somewhere in the between there.
Looking like a fool with your pants on the ground.
Somewhere with your pants
in
here,
the
right
between there.
Yeah, somewhere between there. Okay.
Here's the
reality, because you heard it from
What's the reality,
future, it, which is this. You see, every child of God is born with an innate intelligence that
every
actually has a solution that all that has to be asked is, give me your solution.
Well, you know, it's really interesting you say that, Byron, because you've heard me say that there are so many, I've seen so many documentaries in the last year and a half.
Yeah.
And I could pull together like a half a dozen, and you just go, well, we're screwed. That's it, you know? But the one thing that you see in all of them, you know, the message is always clear that it's the answer is simple.
It's a very
We just simple. Stop doing certain
we
things.
We make it complicated.
It's very simple. We could reverse a whole lot of it. We could change it.
Michael,
but
being stupid.
Byron. I wish it was an extended version of Byron, so I could say
being stupid is a learned idea.
Ah, being stupid, being distracted is cultivated.
Wait, I have one more thing to say. So, when I went to my when I did a protest with my summer program, this campaign, we saw another group of young people doing a campaign, and it was for this medication for tapeworm and ringworm. And my mom had that when she was a child because she was born and raised in a poor country. And it only cost a penny and a half for one person. A penny and a half to cure
ringworm.
I mean, it's a slower dose, obviously. It's not going to be an American dose where it heals in like a day, because it would be a lot more money. But a penny and a half can heal one person. And well, the fact that it costs so little and so many people are infected with that, it just shows not ignorance, but I guess distraction, selfishness. I think people know
apathy.
These things.
Apathy.
That too. I think people apathy. Know. We all know. It's just we don't want to change the status quo. Like one of my old friends said. Like people don't want to. If you're born rich, why? What do you want to do? Why would you want to do something that would make you less rich? Or if you're, I don't know. The middle class has always been the ones who have been a beacon or a voice for the poor who don't have a voice at all. Because we didn't suffer as much as the poor, but we also know what it's like to lack in a sense. So the middle class can either be the strongest voice or the strongest supporter of the rich and the usual.
Hello.
All right, Byron.
212-209-2900.
Now, let me tell you why I wanted you to bring your rap lyrics.
Yes.
Okay. You know there's an app for everything, right?
Yes,
you know that.
Of course.
And there is an app. I read about it, and I said I had to download it. There is an app called, and I'm glad my phone had died here. There's an app called Auto Rap. Byron, it'll take, and I was reading a review, it'll take anything that you say and turn it into a rap song. And it's got some special, you know, rapification software. And I was like, come on now. So, of course, I downloaded it. It's free. And Byron, so I said, all right, let me just say anything stupid. You know, I went to the store to get some bread and I ran into my friend named Fred. And so I'm going to play with it. But Byron, we're going to have a live demonstration here because I'm going to let you rap and see what the auto rap will do for you.
I'm going to mess it up.
I know you are. Well, let me just try. Let me just show you what
I'm
going to
mess up.
My first. Wait, okay, you ready? And I'll tell you. You heard what I said, right? Okay. Now you can change the beat. You ready, Chris? Chris, is you there? Chris, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you ready? Okay, here we go. Here's my first rap. Here's my first rap with the auto rap. Okay, here we go. I don't know what to do with 216 at home. I don't know what to do with 216 at home. I don't know what to do with 216 at home. I don't know what to do with 216. I went to the corner to get some bread. Who did I see but my old friend Fred? I need to be closer home. I don't know what to do. Safe. I went to the corner to get some bread. See, but my old friend Fred, I need to be closer to home. I don't know what to do. I'm safe, closer to home. I don't know what to do. Closer to home. I don't know what to do. Closer to home. I don't know what to do. Closer to home.
All right, Byron. I like the beat. I like the beat.
I know it.
But I think the lyrics are.
So
a
I just.
Wow. We gotta start the show with
Fred
that.
And bread.
No.
That's the best thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Listen. No, wait.
Bread.
Okay, wait. So I said, let me try and do a night shift one. I'll just say something about night shift, okay? So this was my second attempt, okay?
Yes.
Okay, they use the same music. You can change the track, but I was just playing, you know. Okay, here we go. Here is the Night Shift rap. And I don't remember what I said. I said something like it's Night Shift and, you know, you hear it. It's, and they just take it and they break it down. They break it, breaks it down for you. You'll be amazed. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Mr. Guest, did you?
Yeah. I mean, it's sheer stuff.
Just a hit. Okay.
What are you
ready?
Doing? Okay. This mic. All right. This, you were obviously hadn't had any sleep for a while.
Okay.
Okay,
wait.
Please.
This is my final.
We won't call you Snoop nothing.
This is my final song.
Snoopy Doop.
Hey, Chris, are you with it? This
if
is my
Snoop
final song.
Name, I can't wait to hear the song, right. The same music again.
Yeah, right. It's like, are you sampling?
Song. No, this is like, you can change the beat, but I didn't change
okay,
the beat.
Of course
I could
did.
Go a different beat. This, are you ready?
Yes.
Mr. Guess?
Yes.
Are you amazed? Is this not amazing?
Yeah, all right. I can't find. I mean, I could never imagine it would be such a thing.
I couldn't imagine. No. The auto rap. Okay, you what?
Did you save those?
Oh, I not only did I save them, I burned them to CD. Come on, hey, you're listening to it. Okay, you ready?
You can pledge. Fred.
Yes.
You can pledge for the CD.
That's right. I'm gonna put up, I can put up a music video. They even have a contest. They have a contest on YouTube. Like, all right, you ready?
All right, yes, go ahead.
Ready? Here's my last, my final, you know.
Thank you.
Okay,
you We really
Byron,
thank you.
Be open.
Okay, I'll try it. All right.
Night Shift, Mike, Byron, Elena. Night Shift, Mike, Byron, Elena. Night Shift, Mike, Byron, Elena. You know what happens late at night when everything's feeling right. It's my favorite show. Night Shift, it's my favorite show. Night Shift, Mike, Byron, Elena, and Joe. It's my favorite show. You know what happens late at night when everything's feeling right. It's my favorite show. Night Shift, it's my favorite show. Night Shift, Mike, Byron, Elena, and Joe. It's my favorite show. Night Shift.
What do you think? We can put this on there?
We can use
this. No, my name's not on there.
I said it. It got clipped up.
Straight from SNL,
well,
trust and gentlemen.
Trust me. These all took like 15 seconds to do. All right. So you ready? All right. Let me show you how it works, Byron.
Straight
this
from
how, you
SNL.
Ready? Okay. This is how it works. I'm gonna. I press the thing here, and yes. I will hand it to you after a demonstration. See, here's the thing. Okay, it says the auto wrap. Okay, a little thing comes that says tap.
First of all, how did you find it out?
I read it somewhere. You know,
you read it
when I should have been working.
As soon as you read it, you got it.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Are you on payroll?
On this, it says here tap to rap.
Tap to rap.
Okay, so what should I rap about? Okay, all right. Well, I'll let you rap. Can you say anything that rhymes? Just think of anything.
Something that rhymes?
Yes. Let's talk about Night Shift and Byron and
Night Shift
Chris.
Is fun with us.
Okay, you ready? All right, I'm going to ready. Go.
So I'm trying to rap already. Okay. No, well, Night Shift is fun with us, guys. Taking company to you, guys. I don't know.
Okay, there we go. Now,
okay.
It's processing.
I don't think...
Podcast. Hold on. You're gonna mess it up.
Okay.
You mess it up now. I'm trying to play this now. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
I'm scared.
Okay. Here we go. I'm gonna save it this time. This is MG rap. Okay.
MG rap.
Okay. I'm saving it, and now I'm gonna play it again. Hold on, because you were talking over the beginning of her epic here.
Yes.
You're ready. All right. It's saving.
But I don't know where your
rap? Where is your rap?
Yeah, he brought rap lyrics with him. Yes, he's ready to be. He's ready to make.
And I can do it now, so we can compare the real one.
Well, yeah, the real one. Now. Byron does the real rap. That's saving.
To mine. I don't know if I want to use their music.
Well, no, they got music. Okay. They got the whole point, Byron, is that you have to use.
The
I called.
Line,
by the way, I called
it,
that right first now. That first. You know what I called that first
what
song?
Call that?
Fred Bread. That's.
Listen to Byron Me a While.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
I think I could have
right.
guessed that.
Shh, 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 shh.
Oh my Brand. God, I'm scared. Yeah. Oh no. Oh my God, it's so stupid. Byron, I want to hear your rap. Please.
There you go.
There you go.
Chris, are you with it?
I'm with it.
You with
hello.
It? Okay. And
hello.
Hello.
Hey there.
Do you have a secret career?
Do I have a secret career?
Yes. That like
No, but you know, I'm calling because I heard you mention about Clinton endorsing Romney.
No, not Clinton. Clint Eastwood.
Oh, Clint Eastwood.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
That would have been too
yes.
much.
Okay.
Yes.
And you had mentioned the idiosyncrasies of Michael Jackson?
Not really, but if you had something to say, well, listen. We were just saying, you know, we had a... I played the interview with the director of the documentary about Bob Marley, and mm-hmm. in the interview, he was talking about what a great figure Bob Marley was and how he was known worldwide more for his politics and what he had to say than someone, he said, like, say, Michael Jackson, who's just rich and everybody's fascinated with like that, sort of completely dismissing all his artistic contributions and the fact that he's an amazing musician. So... That was the referential.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, the reason why I called because, firstly, in regards to Michael Jackson, I was listening to a young man, and I believe he calls his name Black Economics or Black Echo. And he's on an AM or radio station. And he had as his guest Gregory. And... what was said was so extremely interesting.
Yeah.
In regards to the politics of Michael Jackson going to the control of, I think it was CBS, owning not only the Beatles song, but Little Richard's you know, works and other artists. And this, Michael Jackson controlled. He owned, I won't say controlled. And with the, you know, we hear of the vulture and predatory schemes, Michael Jackson was allowed in contract because he owned all of these rights, 65% of CBS. He was allowed to basically take out a loan up to a certain percentage. Now, I may not have it exactly as was stated by Dick Gregory, but I thought it was extremely interesting. And due to the fact that Dick Gregory was saying it without hesitation, and one would tend to believe that there is great truth in what he said. So when I heard you commenting about Michael Jackson, you know, and that everyone knew him for... his records, that's true, but it everyone doesn't, they don't know him really for the extreme politics because he was outrageously intelligent and quite a businessman to turn around and own over 65% of CBS and be able to have the ability to buy to borrow money 65% In essence of the actual amount that he owned or that he purchased. I don't know how the math goes. So I found that extremely interesting. The other thing, Clinton, and I didn't know it was Clint Eastwood. When you said Clinton, the other thing that was mentioned was that Clinton at one time when I think it's Rob Brown, what's his name? Rob Brown, the politician who was to have been blown up. His plane went into the side of a mountain, and it was stated that he never left the ground, that he, his son, and everyone in his quote entourage unquote met their untimely end because they were asked to basically be the fall guys for something. And Ron Brown said that his son and he would not be the party to take the blame. And unfortunately, he was, well, according to the program, eliminated. So I found it that extremely interesting, and also to the fact that it was not just, you know, it was hard politics, but politics played in the most ruthless manner, which is basically, you know, you can consider the politics of JFK, where he unfortunately met his ending. So when I was coming in and I heard your comments, Clinton, and I heard Michael Jackson, it automatically threw up in my mind the program that I heard by Black Economics, the gentleman who has a tour.
Yeah, I guess he didn't like the rap at all.
No, I guess he didn't really like the rap. Well, listen, thank you, man. Listen, I was being polite because you're completely talking about something we're not talking about at all. So I just let you go on there a little bit. But it is interesting, and I thank you for calling.
Okay.
And do you have any kind of secret career? Whatever you do, is there anything you secretly always wanted to do?
That I always wanted to do?
Yeah.
I guess what I really would like to do is to bring some type of peace and harmony among mankind.
That'd be quite a career, I'll say that. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling. Hello, you're on the air. Byron, you ready?
Yes.
You ready to do your rap, Byron? Byron's ready to do his rap. Okay, Byron.
Oh, yeah, I want
to
hear Byron.
Yeah, I have the solution to all the problems. I have the solution.
All right.
Well, he's not going to give us a solution. He just has it. You ready? All right, Byron. All right. So what do you do? You tap to rap.
Yes, tap to rap.
And don't say more than, like, you know, 30 seconds.
Okay.
So just give me, you know, like a couple lines.
See, I wrote a, I got
I know,
a whole.
Just, he wrote it down. Just give me the first few. There you go.
Okay. Tap to rap. Mine is called Fruity Wacky Sacky.
Okay, great.
On to the Broadway, choo-choo Cincinnati. Don't get icky with the 1, 2, 3. Life is mighty fine on the sunny side.
Right there.
I hope you
change
the tracks.
No, I didn't change the tracks.
Oh, I got a whole thing. I could keep going hard. It's Fruity Wacky Sacky.
Now, you see, you're all talking over Byron's thing here. I'm going to have to save it now. Byron rap. I'm going to save you, Byron.
Okay.
And then I'm going to play you now.
All right.
I'll play you in a second. Now, here we're going to hear
all right, here we go. Byron's rap.
Byron's rap. So, Chris... Are you impressed?
We have too much time on our hands.
I'm impressed. I'm waiting to hear it.
You're ready to hear it. We can hear Byron's rap now. Byron,
Pretty Wacky Sound.
This is your auto rap. Yes. It's going to be. We'll take a call while it's saving. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I realize that you lesser minds are not capable of understanding. So
well, you have to say something for us. Well, if you have a solution, you got to say it, though. You can't keep saying it.
That's a solution. Go ahead.
See, there it is. He doesn't say it. All right, you ready?
Yes.
Byron,
yes.
What's the phone number here?
212-209-2900.
You have another story?
Yes, I got another story. This is interesting. This is
Here's a story for you.
Way out of here. All right.
I hesitate to show you that story. It's uploading the song, Byron.
Okay.
Soon you'll be uploaded.
Yes. Will this make me famous?
Of course.
Or infamous? Which
one? You're already infamous, Brian. Okay.
All right.
All right, you can go here.
All right, story. Now this is a very interesting story. This is a DNA hint at African cousin to humans. Wow. See, gene profiles suggest people interbred with a now extinct species.
A now extinct species.
On the continent not that long ago. And actually, it was about 40,000 years ago. And I know the story. I've read this.
Mm.
Okay. Expeditions to Africa may have brought back evidence of a hitherto unknown branch in the human family
unknown
tree.
Branch, now extinct okay. species of human.
But this time, the evidence wasn't unearthed by digging in the dirt. It was found in the DNA of hunter-gatherer people living in Cameroon and Tanzania.
Mm.
Buried in the genetic blueprints of 15 people.
Mm.
Did you hear what I just said?
Well, this other species got around. 15
people, researchers found the genetic signature of a sister species that branched off the human family tree at about the same time that Neanderthals did.
Mm.
This lineage probably remained isolated from the one that produced modern humans for a long time, but its DNA jumped into the Homo sapiens gene pool through interbreeding with modern humans during the same era that other modern humans and Neanderthals were mixing in the Middle East.
Humans and Neanderthals were getting together.
That's right. They were begetting.
I understand.
They were begetting with each other. And this report was made available August 3rd, in the August 3rd Cell. I guess Cell is the name of the published scientific research. The evidence for ancient interbreeding is surprisingly convincing, says Richard Ed Green, a genome biologist at the University of California, Santa Cruz. This is a signal that demands explanation, and archaic admixture seems to be the most reasonable one at this point. Scientists have discovered that some people with ancestry outside Africa have DNA inherited from Neanderthals or Denisovans, as they are known, a mysterious group known only through DNA derived from a fossil finger found in a Siberian cave.
Wow.
Okay. And so ultimately, Neanderthals and Denisovans.
Denisovans.
Yes.
That bred. Sounds kind of like something from Game of Thrones. Go ahead.
Yes. But these researchers had DNA from fossils to guide their research. And this time, the researchers led by Sarah Tishkoff at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia didn't have fossil DNA or even fossils. Tiskoff's group took DNA donated by 15 African hunter-gatherers, 5 Pygmies from Cameroon, and 5 Hadza, and 5 Sandwe.
Now, when they dug these people, these were like, were they burial grounds? Or were they just going and...
No, they went and went to these different tribes.
Mm.
So they got 5
permission
Pygmies
of the tribes.
From Cameroon, 5 Hadza, and 5 Sandawi from Tanzania, and compiled complete genetic blueprints for each person. Population geneticist Joshua Aki,
all these from these 3 different areas, all had the same DNA from the
that
same
is correct.
Extinct human.
That's right. And they were using statistical analysis. The team determined that about 2% of the DNA from the hunter-gatherers came from an unknown species of hominid, that split from modern human ancestors about 1.1 million years ago. These long-lost human cousins must have then interbred with modern humans sometimes before the common ancestral lineage of the 3 hunter-gatherer groups separated somewhere between 30,000 to 70,000 years ago. So interesting.
It is. It is very interesting.
And so, what's even more is that they're not discovered by fossils. This is DNA technology that DNA is linking them.
Fishcarp is a narcissist. Quack.
Hello, you're in the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello. You need to turn down your radio.
Oh, since you mentioned global warming, right? What was that movie, Kevin Costner made?
Waterworld.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Yes.
That movie, Kevin
Right.
Well, you know, the science fiction.
Are we becoming that now since we have so much global warming?
I don't know. It is. Well, listen, we're facing it. It's here. I mean, you know, I believe the waters will rise. So, Miss, you have a story? Do you find this story fascinating?
I can't hear you.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the in studio guest.
All right.
all right, so. Gracias.
You have to move closer to the microphone.
The title is No Need to Panic Over Kids Sleep. I don't understand the concept because I feel like I could use more sleep in life. But the article is basically saying that sleepy children aren't that much of a big deal. But there's a psychiatrist in 1884 that said a lot of homework was the reason why there were sleep issues back then in the 1800s. I feel like that happens now in 2012, but even so, this article is basically saying that people now are getting more sleep than those back in the 1880s, so it's not that bad.
We're getting more sleep now, Baron, than back in the day.
And how sleep deprivation, obesity and sleep deprivation aren't even that much related. And they're basically saying that this stuff is over exaggerated. I disagree. I feel like I can use more sleep, and I feel like you still get a lot of homework. Those from the 1960s and the 1970s have written in books that us in 2012 are learning more advanced concepts than those from the 60s and 70s. Maybe the people from the 1880s or the 1900s were learning more difficult work, but in 2012, I feel like you can never not get any sleep. If there's anything I would want to do besides write, it would be sleeping. I feel like kids do need more sleep. We get too much homework and we get lazy and tired. And I feel like school should be from like 10 to 4 and then sleep should be like at 9 or 10. You should only get like 3 hours of homework a day, but that's my ideal lifestyle. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know where you'd come up with that one from. Alright, so some people were calling during the time. I had to turn them down because they wouldn't turn the radio down. What's the phone number here, Byron?
212-209-2900.
Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, do you have a secret career you'd like to have had?
You know, I have. Actually, I'm a restaurateur chef. One of my passions was actually painting when I was younger.
And that would have been your career.
And it was actually graffiti. That's the crazy part.
It was what?
Graffiti.
Ah, you tagged.
It was crazy because I did a lot of portraits of women. And
I can relate to that.
I mean, I would do it with makeup the whole nine. And I always secretly wanted to be a makeup artist. I always thought that I could.
All right. See, I can relate to that. I understand that.
Yeah,
I can understand that.
I don't always tell people that.
I hear you. No, listen, I understand that because as an illustrator, I always felt that doing makeup was very similar. You know, you're sort of sculpting features. You're accenting highlights and bone structure. And
exactly.
So I completely, completely understand where you're coming from.
Good. I guess
completely.
You have the other half of this amulet.
Yes.
I feel a lot better.
Shazam!
Right. The other half of the amulet.
Well, you're tuned to listen to Sponsored Radio, WBAI. We're giving away tickets. If you come down to the station, we have tickets next week for a screening of Paranormal on the 16th of Thursday, 7 p.m. You just come down to the station, 120 Wall Street. They'll be here at the front desk between 9 and 6. Just come on down. And if you email me, you heard we were talking about the documentary, and I played a small interview with the director of Marley. For we're giving away 5 copies of the DVD of the that's just come out of the DVD of Marley, and you have to email us at lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com. You can visit us on the web. Our website is lifeislikesciencefiction.com, all one word. And you can like us on Facebook, NITESHIFT.
Oh, very good. I'm going there right now.
That's right. You need to like us. Chris, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What do you think of, you know, because you deal in what people have kept and are trying to sell, and it also seems to me that the same people who are there selling are also there buying. So we're kind of just recycling things over and over.
Right.
And then we all have too much. I went upstate yesterday with my dad and family, and we go driving around, and there's nothing out there. There's cows, you know. And then you see, we're in Peekskill and I forget what the other area was, because we're going to some big flea market up there, and you know,
big flea market this weekend.
This is on Sunday. This happens once a week on Sunday. And Patterson. And out in the midst of nowhere, okay, where people got lots of property and lots of land, there's still storage facilities. Yeah. Tons of them. Storage. They're all over. Everybody's got all this stuff. Everybody's got all this stuff to put. What's happening? So, there it is. I just had to. So, I ask you, what's your thought? Where does it end?
Well, what's
incredible,
is,
I live right where you're talking about.
Really? All right, well, there it is.
I live 20 minutes up from Patterson. I live in a town called Wataye.
Oh.
And you were on Route 22, correct?
Yes, we were on Route 22. Yes, we were. And there were freak storms happening.
Listen.
What?
There are homes out here that look like castles.
Yes.
Most of the people here... You know, you have a lot of very wealthy horse farm owners. I mean, you have people who, you know, move here, like Katie Couric and Vin Diesel. All those guys, they move up in this area, and it's so funny because they just want to walk around and be normal without people gawking at them and, you know, making
big
deals, no cameras. And it's awesome. I see Daryl Hall from Hall & Oates all the time.
Daryl Hall.
Guy drives around in a pickup truck. Looks like it's 30 years old with a carton of cigarettes, and he has no kids. It's awesome.
There it is.
You know,
just being people.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's awesome. You can hit a cow here by accident.
Yeah. You know, a lot of deer crossing.
I had bears run through my restaurant yard. The most amazing thing I've ever seen.
I don't know if I want a bear running through my restaurant. Chris, have you had any bears running through your property?
So, bear?
Yeah.
Not bears, but everything else. But I've seen some bears in the area.
What about raccoons?
To get back to your original point.
Yes, yes.
To answer it, what's very interesting is you would think that antique furniture would be something that would sustain its value and would be continued to be used and collected and passed down, right? You figure old, well-made furniture would be something that would retain its value. And right now, furniture is completely, like, considered a dead thing. Like, no one wants to even handle furniture anymore. No one's buying any furniture, and the value of furniture has plummeted like you would not believe. And it's amazing.
That's because they don't have any room.
Because, well, it's not so much the room, but furniture would be something that someone ever needs. They'd rather go to IKEA and buy something that's going to fall apart in a year or two than to buy something that would be that's going to last and hold its value, which is not anymore. It's really worth. But everybody, you know, I find it fascinating because I see people that it's like when they go out to the flea markets or the antique shows or whatever, they suffer from what I consider the same syndrome of somebody that goes to the casino where they'll spend all the money they have with them. and people will spend everything they have with them to go home with stuff. And that's always bizarre to me. I've seen that. I've seen people, I don't have enough money with me. I got to go to the ATM. Now there's ATMs at the shows. So you, and the ATMs usually run out of money. And those ATMs hold like $200,000. But if you've got every person going up and taking $500 out, well, two people would be 1,000, right? So 100 or 200 people is 100,000. I mean, and they'll go through $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 on these ATMs in one afternoon at these shows.
Oh, there it is.
And people are taking it and buying stuff. I mean, look at you. You went out and you picked up a couple things. And if you went walking around, you saw...
No, I didn't pick up anything. We got there too late. We were just scoping it out because we're going to be selling there. But no, we're going to be selling there next week. So
you're going to be selling there.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome. You know, wait till you start selling and people. I should school you as to how to handle the people.
I'll be right back. How much do you take for this?
Whatever price you're going to give them,
the
they're going to want
the
it for less. But
that's
I'll tell
right,
you,
the art of
therefore,
the deal.
Oh, I know.
The more you mark it up,
yeah, I've been there. All right, well, I see somebody else is calling. Let me just see if we can get a quick call in before we go. Hello, you're on the air.
All right.
Yes.
This is Professor Laughing Raccoon Dog out in California.
It's dead, Professor.
You all know what a raccoon dog is? Your mystery lady was talking about how she hates raccoons.
Yeah.
Raccoon dogs are really cool. They're
they'll attack them for
sacred
you.
Sacred in Japanese culture. They call them tanuki, and they're a symbol of good luck. They often have statues of them. And he's got kind of big eyes and, like, gigantic testicles, which represents, financial good luck. But I wanted to say about Bob Marley, there's a book by Gregory Stevens called On Racial Frontiers, where he talks about he profiles Frederick Douglass, Ralph Ellison that wrote The Invisible Man, and Bob Marley. And he points out that these are performers, artists, whatever you want to call them, that were political, but also transcended racial boundaries. Not just in their art, but also in their personal lives. And all three of these guys were mulatto. You might not know Bob Marley had a white father.
Yeah, how can I? Excuse me, sir. How can I not know
Marley,
this, sir? Hello, sir.
Right,
he's not gonna listen. How can I not know that after watching a documentary about Bob Marley? Anyway, you are tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio WBAI. This has been Night Shift, and that was Professor Pontificitis.
Yes,
and is it Jimmy Dore? Is Jimmy Dore next?
Jimmy Dore is next.
And this has been Night Shift. And like I said, if you want to win the Bob Marley DVD, you can write us lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com. And until next week, Byron,
speak to me, Almighty Mike.
It has been a pleasure.
You didn't play Byron's rap.
Yeah, we played this rap. You didn't listen?
No, am I going back on assignment?
Byron, you're always on assignment. Okay. You're on assignment right now.
Yes, I am.
You're always on assignment.
Brought
Byron,
in from
why
the cold.
Get a video camera and go out with Mike when he sells all this stuff. I think that would be
something, huh?
I want to see Mike selling stuff. That would be hilarious.
I'm not sure if he's ready or prepared
Please.
To park.
Are you kidding? Are you
he has
kidding?
No idea
I'm an
what
old
he's
pro. You forget that you met me at a convention, Chris. That's
I met you at a convention, but that was because you were really a freak. But now you're like an antique freak. Now you're going to be selling stuff.
Candyman.
I came for you.
Goodbye, Brian.
Goodbye, Mike.
Goodbye, Chris.
Great. Peace and love.
Goodbye, Mike.
Good night, John Boy. Bye.